Track 12, Barriers to Treatment, Countertransference. On the last track, we provided you with an inner child visualization. On this track, we will look at countertransference and the use of a losses and gains exercise. Do you find that you have preconceived ideas or reactions that come to mind when dealing with a particular client? If you're like I am, you do. As you may be aware, there are two different ways of viewing countertransference. The narrow definition refers to your reaction to the client's issues that has been generated by your own internal conflict or problems. This, of course, interferes with keeping the therapeutic process neutral. The second broad definition means any emotional reaction on your part to the client's issues, regardless of any personal conflict the material may or may not invoke. As you know, countertransference can be a potential landmine if you, as the therapist, aren't aware or in touch with your own hot buttons. I found my reaction can be a valuable tool to the understanding of my client if I am aware of three self-talk messages. Number 1, my unresolved past issues. Number 2, client's transferred issues. And number 3, feelings that are being induced or created in me by the client. These feelings, negative or positive, offer me insight into potential responses I can give to the client. A good example is found in Cassie, age 18. Cassie came to me looking for help in dealing with and understanding her alcoholic and emotionally abusive mother and her passive father. She had been in therapy for approximately 6 months when, in the middle of a neurotic transference reaction, she brought up a dream in which the theme was a co-worker at the fast food restaurant where she worked, violating her turf, as she put it, and images of sharks with teeth ripping her apart. Cassie had been struggling in previous sessions with three major issues. First, she was struggling with homosexual fears. Second, she was struggling with the feeling that she couldn't hide anything from me. She said, "I feel overexposed and vulnerable when I'm here, like you see me without my clothes on." And the third issue Cassie was struggling with was summed up when she stated, "I feel pressured to talk about all my inner feelings. I just feel very vulnerable, that's all." The sexual abuse secret that Cassie was living with was that she suspected her mother sexually molested her on several occasions when she was around 4 or 5 while intoxicated. On a countertransference level, my initial urge was to know more about Cassie's secrets and fears. As I became aware of these feelings, I realized that if I pursued this line of questioning, I was violating her boundaries. By giving Cassie time to understand the context of her past and the nature of transference, she was able to come up with her own interpretation of her feelings, and I was able to avoid violating her boundaries by not imposing my ideas upon her. I found I must be willing to deal directly with Cassie's issues by slowing down and accepting her revelations and feelings calmly at her pace. Focusing too much on the details and not on the issues could have left Cassie feeling exploited and re-victimized. Dr. Weston wrote in the article Countertransference Phenomena and Personality Pathology in Clinical Practice, an Empirical Investigation, "The broadband measure of countertransference processes can turn clinicians' experiences into definable interpersonal patterns, allowing clinicians who normally attend to countertransference phenomenon to hone and systematize their own reflections." I find to minimize my countertransference of losses and gains exercise is helpful for me. I ask myself, what loss issue does Cassie's molestation by her mother trigger for me? For example, I have a loss issue of my father dying of stomach cancer when I was 10. Cassie's negative feelings regarding her mother triggered my abandonment issues regarding my father. To resolve or to release this issue, I then ask, what was the long-term gain that I experienced from my father's death? For example, my self-talk included, even though my father died, I became a much stronger, independent person. What loss does a sexually abused client trigger for you? What is a gain that has resulted from that loss? As you are aware, peer consultations and discussions with colleagues can help mental health professionals regain the necessary professional perspective. On this track, we have just reviewed countertransference and the therapist's use of a losses and gains exercise. On the next track, we will begin to look at the first of two parts in the healing cycle for those living with the secrets of childhood sexual abuse. The two parts of the cycle that we'll look at are exposing the wound and re-experiencing the trauma. Question 12. What is the common concept in the narrow and in the broad definitions of countertransference?